And the best place for looking at history concerned with Eastbourne Seafront is to go to the Wish Tower. This is a little chalk knoll overlooking the sea, but it actually gets its name from the Wish, which was a rather marshy hollow on the landward side. In the Middle Ages, it was a very good hay field. Everybody who could get a piece of it seized on it gladly. But many archaeologists think that earlier than this, in the Roman period, for instance, that it was a creek of the sea and that they were able to use it as a small harbour. In fact, the district was called for quite a long while Langport, and I used to teach people whose name was Lamport and who are still living in Eastbourne. Later on, the hill was considered to be a useful strong point, and you'll find that in the time of the Armada scare, for instance, there was a battery of Elizabethan guns on the hill. I wonder whether they used the gunpowder afterwards for rejoicings as they did at Lewes. Then, at the time of the Napoleonic scare, the tower itself was put up. It is, in fact, one of the Martello towers, and it has a very fine moat round it, cut into the chalk. On the top is one of the original guns, and quite recently the gun was replaced using the methods that they would have used about 1800. That is to say, tree trunks and natural ropes, no wire rope or nylon or anything of that kind. Still later, in 1940, a really big naval gun was installed on the same hill, and so it's got a really rather comprehensive defensive story. If you look inland, you'll see quite a number of the attempts to amuse visitors to Eastbourne spread over a number of years. Swimming bath, theatre, concert hall, various tennis courts and so on, culminating, of course, in the Congress Conference Hall and Theatre. Well, now the next vantage point is down near the pier, where the pier joins onto the sea front. Here there was once a Roman villa, of which very small remains were found when they were building. It probably was burnt down, but nobody can say whether that was done by enemy raiders or not. Just beside it was a quarry of green sandstone, and quite a lot of that sandstone did in fact go to build the coast defences at Pevensey, first in the Roman wars and later in the medieval Norman castle. In fine weather, it very likely went overland by carts, but in wet weather, it was much easier to load it up on barges and take it round by sea. It was a bit dearer to send it by sea because it had to be loaded from the carts onto the barges and back again, and there was the extra labour. Later on, in the 18th century, on the same spot, one of the peculiar vertical mills was built. These were invented by the Mortimer family of Eastbourne. There was another one up on the Downs. This one wasn't very successful, and it was fairly soon pulled down and turned into a house, sometimes called the Round House, sometimes called the Field House. And this was used near the end of the 18th century for some of the many children of George III. I think it was most unfair. The boys were allowed to stay in the old mill house with their tutors and servants, and the girls were fobbed off with perfectly ordinary houses. You'll still see some of them. They're the sea houses, just a little way east of the pier, and several of them are really quite attractive 18th century houses. One has a date, 1750 or thereabouts. If you look round nearer the pier, you'll see the first big development made by the local landowners, when they tried to emulate Brighton by putting up rather grand large hotels and ranges of lodging houses, getting cheaper and cheaper and smaller as you went away from the sea. Then going on further east, you come to the place which was once the fishing station. It now has a beautiful flower bed, but that was once shingle on which the nets were mended and dried, and the capstans were there for pulling up the fishing boats. And it's on record that the coal for Eastbourne used to come in there on barges at high tide, and when the tide went out, the barges rested on the sand, and the carts went down and were loaded directly on the beach. The fishermen finally were persuaded to move further east with their fishing boats, but of course they stayed on the beach as pleasure boatmen, and they still are the names of the old fishing families, Orcons, Bonifaces, Sayers, Novices. They're rather proud, some of them, of the fact that they think their ancestors were smugglers as well as fishermen. Behind the old fishing station is another hollow, and this was where the Bourne Stream finally reached the sea, the Bourne Stream that gave Eastbourne its name and its original position. It was such a tiny stream it couldn't break through to the sea. It formed a pond and just soaked through the shingle. Finally, working further eastward still, you come to the Great Redoubt, an enormous brick fort. This was the headquarters and the arsenal for the Martello Towers, the whole range from Eastbourne right the way through to Hastings. And in those thick brick walls are in fact what looked like caves in which the gunpowder was kept. And the whole thing went right down directly to the sea, although it had a moat as well on the landward side. And you've got to imagine the troops going out from there. You can still trace some of their special paths to their various Martello towers, each one with its little arsenal and its one gun. Cobbett said that he couldn't imagine that the veterans of Napoleon could possibly be stopped by the Martello Towers. He thought it was a conspiracy on the part of the people who sold the bricks, which of course may have been so. Beside the redoubt, not very many yards away, is another relic of the smuggling days. I'm afraid the last little bit of it was pulled down very recently, but it was a great square compound which belonged to the Coast Guard. And the gallery at Towner Art Gallery has a very attractive picture showing picturesquely dressed Coast Guards with a great pile of contraband which they have captured and brought in and are guarding in the compound, and no doubt looking forward to some prize money coming in from it. All this part of the town is in fact on the shingle, which started very near the pier and went right the way across Pevensey Bay and gradually caused the silting up of what had been various river mouths. One little river mouth that you can still see is in what is now the Prince's Park, but which was called once, not so long ago, the Crumples Pond. In the earliest maps which are made of the district, you will see equally large Beachy Head and the beach and the Crumples Pond. It was of some importance, and not very long ago, when they were doing some road work, they did in fact find a sizeable boat which apparently had been run into that pond and harboured in the lake or the river just beside it. And where the river runs down to the lake was the position of the first turnpike road going out of Eastbourne towards the east, with its gates and its tolls to be paid. And once you've gone through the first turnpike, I suppose you could consider that you were out of Eastbourne, and you began then to get, in fact, to the history of Pevensey instead of Eastbourne.